First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis. At sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists. At glgcorp.com, the First Serve, your home of tennis.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another Monday night edition of the First Serve right around Australia. It's great to have you with us. We're here in our Melbourne studios at 11:16. Of course, everyone up there in Sydney on 1170 and 1629 over in SENSA. Whether you're listening through the great SEN app right across the country, online at sen.com.au. It's always good to have you with us as we talk the world of tennis, and we always want you to get involved in this show every single week. It's the only chance, the only show where you can talk tennis and get things off your chest domestically. You can give us a good feel story. You can go hard at a particular topic. The agenda is yours. You can talk internationally, whatever you like. The hour is certainly open to you, 1-300-736-736. Or you can get us on the Tennis Direct text tonight, 0433 98 11 16. They are Australia's favourite online tennis store. They've got fast delivery, great prices, free delivery on orders over $150. So if you go to their website, you can shop to your heart's content while you're listening in tonight. Tennisdirect.com.au. First Serve listeners can get that 10% discount store-wide. Also tonight and right throughout May for our best caller, Tennis Direct throwing in the $150 voucher as well. So racket, accessories, everything going on. We'll also throw in tonight the Sunbless sunscreen, their First Serve tennis sunscreen we've got to give away, which is, of course, designed specifically for tennis. So you can order yours at sunblesssunscreens.com.au. Use the discount code SEN, but we'd love to get your thoughts. 1-300-736-736. It's not always kind to us, the time difference, isn't it, when you're trying to cover this sport, watch this sport in Australia, because tomorrow morning at 3 a.m, Ash Barty versus Iga Swiatek, the two most recent French Open winners. Now, I've been looking forward to this one for a little while. We're going to talk to Linda Pierce very soon on the show, senior tennis journalist, of course, a long time with The Age and The Herald Sun, regular contributor. She's just put up a great piece on our website too, thefirstserve.com.au, Aussies versus Clay. It hasn't always been the kindest relationship, particularly on the men's side, for quite some time. Certainly in Ash's case, Sam Stosur doing quite nicely in Paris to make a final. But generally speaking, across the journey, Aussies winning on clay with regularity hasn't happened too often. But gee, Barty and Swiatek, she could win again, Ash, this week. She's through to the third round. Osaka got knocked out overnight. That was the matchup I wanted to see, Ash Barty and Naomi Osaka. We have to wait a little while longer. We know clay isn't kind to Naomi. First time she's played on the clay pretty much for a couple of years. Skipped the French Open last year. So we'll get that instalment at some point, but looking forward to Barty and Swiatek. I'll have to go home, have a little kip, and get up at 3 a.m, I reckon, for that one. But let's start with what is happening in the last week before we get on to what the week ahead does look like. BMW Open. Playing in Germany is kind for a man from Georgia. His name is Nikolaos Bazilashvili. The fifth seed, this is how he got it done last night.
Take a bow. Nicholas Bazilashvili, a fine performance, not just in this final, but all week. He has not dropped a set here in Munich as he claims the big prize. It is a fifth ATP Tour title for the Georgian. He loves playing in Germany, twice he's won in Hamburg. And he has added Munich to the collection. A fine display, 6-4, 7-6.
He was brilliant. It's a fascinating story, Bazilashvili. He's got a few things going on off court as well, we'll tell you about. 1-300-736-736 if you want to get involved. But this guy, he hits big. His first return last night off the Jan Lennard Struff, he was in his first final, a big German who's had a couple of pretty solid years on the tour. His first return last night was a cracking backhand. He finished the match with an inside-out forehand up the line. It was absolutely magnificent. I mean, his path to the final wasn't overly difficult until he ran into Casper Ruud in the semi, but he made light work of Ruud, who unfortunately had to play two matches in one day. So by the time he got to the semi. He was probably a little bit spent, but he got through the rest of his opponents quite comfortably. He's not travelling with a coach at the moment. It was a match of very small margins, 6-4, 7-6. And how about, I love the presentation ceremonies at all the different tournaments around the world. So he's won, sits down in his chair. Of course, there's no crowds over in Munich. But there is the tradition of presenting the German shorts. There is a name for them. It escapes me. And they had to actually come across and put the sort of sponsor banner around him so he could actually get changed into the shorts out on court. And he looked the part, lifted his trophy, and he was pretty happy. Fifth ATP Tour title. He's 5-2 in finals. Of course, he won in Qatar earlier this year, defeated Roger Federer on the way to winning the title. He also defeated Struff in the quarterfinals in Sardinia. So nice little head-to-head there. But this guy in full flight, he has been inside the top 20, really flying the flag for his country. He hits a mean ball. But can I tell you the things that are going on in the Nikolaj Basilashvili life? So he's the world number 35, has been accused of not fulfilling, and this was reported in the last 48 hours, of not fulfilling a contract signed 6 years ago and refusing to pay. So Georgia's top tennis player, he's set to be heading back to court after it was confirmed legal proceedings have been launched against him by a businessman who claims he helped fund his career. Russian sports website has published a photograph of the legal document detailing an allegation made by Irakli Karacheva. Karacheva says he has helped fund the career of Basilashvili since 2015. But has not yet received any reimbursement. In the legal complaint, it is claimed that a document was signed between the two parties which states that the businessman is entitled to a share of the earnings that Basilashvili has made on the tour. So the amount of money that he says he's owed is around $1.5 million, which is just under a quarter of his entire career prize money. He's also got a bit going on with his, former wife as well. He's got a young son, but of course last year Basilashvili was taken to court by his ex-wife over domestic abuse allegations, which he has denied doing. Bit going on, not affecting what's happening between the tram lines. He is an absolute star when it comes to certainly playing big matches and finals, 5-2, as I mentioned. The other big tournament this week was in Estoril. Lefty Albert Ramos Vinolas won overnight. She had to work hard. Just his third title at the age of 33. They're hard to win on the tour. 4-6, 6-3, 7-6. He's the best performed on the clay this season. 16-5. And 3-0 the head-to-head now with Cam Norrie, who was in his second ATP final. Couldn't quite get it done, but plenty of relief for Albert Ramos Vinolas.
He's done it. Ramos Vinolas has been exceptional in Estoril. He's battled and fought and scrapped his way to the title here. And he has tour title number 3 at the age of 33.
Yes, indeed. He reached the final without dropping a set, so he beat Verdasco Herbert. He came up against Moutet, the Frenchman, in the quarterfinals, and then who beat Denis Shapovalov, the top seed. So not a great week for Chapo there, but he's won his first match in Madrid, which is good news. And then beat the very in-form Alejandro Davidovich Fokina, who's been going beautifully, the Spaniard, and the eldest Spaniard was able to get the job done in that particular tournament. Jordan Thompson, disappointing first-round loss for Tomo. It just goes to show the tight margins in professional tennis. He goes down to a qualifier from Portugal who is ranked 331 in the world. I watched this match in its entirety, and you would think these players are of the same ranking. So it's not much in it. But Nuno Borges of Portugal was able to win that 7-6, 6-3. Went down to Cilic in a really tight second-round match. So we'll keep a very close eye out for him. But let's have a listen to Albert Ramos Vinolas.
Albert, many congratulations. An incredible day for you, an incredible final, your third ATP title. What does that mean?
I'm really happy. It was a great week for me today. Really, really difficult match. I was, I think, set and breakdown, bit pain in the leg. I did a big effort. I'm really happy because it's never easy to win a match like this.
It felt like you really used your experience well today. As you say, you were down and out in that second set and you were able to turn it around.
I'm not sure. I just did my best. I think Cameron was playing a great level. bit more consistent than me at the beginning, since the break and set and break, and then he started to miss a little bit. And also in the third set, he played good when he was down, and the end in the tiebreak, it's really, really difficult, and today was for me.
I just wonder also what it means at 33 years of age. Are these even more special, especially after the last year we've had?
When you know that your career is not ending, but it's closer, you enjoy more, no? The moment, and you think that today I said to my coach, maybe it's my last final. I have to try to do my best, and it's what I tried.
And you're playing some fantastic tennis at a very important part of the calendar, some big, big tournaments coming up.
Well, today, after a final like this, I think it's going to be difficult in Madrid. In Madrid, there is altitude. I'm going to be really tired for Tuesday, but I will play at home with the crowd, and I will try to do my best.
Okay, we get right off Madrid. He said it's spent. Albert Ramos Vinolas. He gave it everything. Played some long matches in Estoril on the coast there in Portugal this past week. So we might be expecting too much for him to back up in Madrid this week. Now, there's a couple of young guys we need to keep a little eye on. They're going okay. The challenges are important. It's a stepping stone to the ATP Tour. Benjamin Bonzil, the Frenchman, 24 years of age. 4-4 he won over the weekend. So he has gone from 164 to 115. So he's creeping up on the top 100, 26 years of age, 2 challenger wins. 26 and 10. He's 24 years of age. 2 challenger wins, 2 challenger semifinals, a runner-up, a quarterfinal. Montpellier, the 250, beat Luca Pui earlier in the year, a former top 10 player. So we'll keep an eye out for him. Mark Polman's a much better week, certainly from a singles point of view, making the quarterfinals. He did win the doubles, Mark, so shout out to you. 4th ATP Challenger doubles title with Sergei Stokowski. That was a good match. I watched that. We want to see Mark go to the next level and actually win one of these challenger events and step up onto the ATP Tour. There's still a fair climb to go for Mark Polman, but well done on certainly winning the doubles. And we did mention this guy on the first serve earlier this year, Juan Manuel Serrandolo, the Argentinian lefty, just 19 years of age. Well, he has jumped up from 341 in the world to 152. So he won the Rome event on the weekend with Thanasi Kokkinakis, made his third quarterfinal of the year, lost a really tight match, Thanasi. So he's getting closer, but just good to see him out on the tour. He's played 5 consecutive weeks, which, by his standard, with everything he's been through in the last few years, is a nice little run. Touch wood, he can keep the body intact and the run keeps going. But this guy can play. He's defeated 5 players in the top 100 this year. As a qualifier, he won Cordoba in Argentina earlier this year. Beat Ramos Vinolas in that final. So really impressed with his game. Got a nice backcourt game. Gets forward. He volleys with a fair degree of confidence as well. So well done to Juan Manuel Serrandolo, the Argentinian. We also need to sing the praises. And I haven't deliberately started with this because we need to put it into a little bit of perspective. But we are following this young girl quite closely because we are crying out for someone to step up and be where Ash Barty is or somewhere of that vicinity. Fellow Queenslander Olivia Gadecki, who's been training a lot with Barty. Barty's taken her under her wing. They've done a lot of blocks together, keeping an eye on her results. She won her first ITF singles tour event across the weekend. So she's won a couple of doubles titles this year. You remember she beat Sophia Kennan, the Australian Open champion of last year at the Phillip Island Trophy, back around Australian Open time. She's 17-8. She wins 6-3, 6-2. Now she's 525 in the ranking. So let's put this into a little bit of perspective. There are 15 players her same age that are ranked higher than her. Iga Swiatek is going to play Barty tomorrow morning, is at the same age. She's inside the top 20. Now, everyone develops at a different pace. Everyone goes on a different journey. So we're not quite sure where Olivia Gadecki is going to land. We don't want to pump it up too early, but we want to certainly acknowledge that she's ticking a lot of boxes. She's making nice progress. She comes from a great tennis state that is producing good young talent, and she's learning so much from Ash Barty when the two of them can get together throughout the year. So well done to Olivia, and we'll just continue to monitor her results. She's pretty much playing week in, week out on the ITF Tour, and I think she's going to back up in Turkey again this week. So there's some of the results. After the break, Linda Pierce is going to join us. We're going to dissect plenty of tennis issues going around. We'll look ahead to Barty and Swiatek and plenty happening off court as well. We're here for Hume Tennis and Community Centre. It is one of Australia's premier tournament and training venues, just 15 minutes from Melbourne Airport. Got the 16 ITF-sized courts and accommodation available as well. It's a mini Melbourne Park. It's a beauty. Ideal for the travelling, coaching groups and families. Check it out at humetennis.com.au.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au. And GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists, providing landscape, horticultural and environmental services throughout Australia at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Great to be with you on a Monday night. Brett Phillips in the chair talking the world of tennis, a sport that never stops. There is no let up. We're all a bit matchstick eyes, particularly covering this sport from Australia, the team at the First Serve. But keep checking out our website. There's regular content going up. Our socials across Facebook, Twitter and Instagram every day. I think Gash Marty at 3 a.m. tomorrow. Alex Bolt's in action a little bit later on. John Pearce, of course, back with Michael Venus. Michael had a child, of course. He's a little late on the tour, which means, and then Max Purcell is back this week, back with his regular partner in Luke Seville, Lauderhalsen. Thank you, Mark, from North Ball. And the shorts at Bajalashvili had to get dressed in for the presentation ceremony over in Munich. Let's welcome in Linda Pearce, always joining us at the start of every month, a senior sports journalist, columnist, 24 years at the Age, the Herald Sun. She's covered tennis and lots of Grand Slams across the journey and has written a terrific piece around Australians and clay. And I did touch on this at the start of the show. We've got a text in here. Richard Fromberg was good on clay. It's a nice little segue into you, Linda, because he does feature in your great piece, which has gone up. Welcome aboard.
Thank you, BP. Yes, I asked the question. I actually called Frommy and said, are you the last of the Aussie men, the clay court specialists? He said he's more than that. He's the last Aussie man to actually win a singles title on the ATP Tour. So, and he never imagined back in 20-something years ago that there would be a record that would still be standing, and he'd be very happy to pass it on if someone would just win one.
Yes, and that's the million-dollar question, when that's going to come. And, you know, certainly our focus and our attention and our hope, Linda, is around Demonor and Popperin in particular, who have spent a lot of their youth growing up and honing the clay, and Alexi winning a boys' singles title at Roland Garros. But, gee, the competition's pretty tough around our current Aussies, and when that breakthrough comes, it's hard to look into the crystal ball and totally see when.
Exactly. I also spoke to Paul McNamee at length for this story, and he just worries that Demonor just doesn't have a big enough weapon other than, you know, his heart and his legs and his movement and all those things, a bit like Leighton Hewitt back in the day. Whereas Popperin, he's got the bigger serve, bigger forehand, so look, maybe he's got a little bit more of a chance in some of these clay court events. But Popperin, for example, is such an all-court player, it's hard to sort of see him being particularly good on clay. He's just very good on everything. So, and I mean, Milman's got the closest. He's actually made a clay court final in the past few years. So in terms of ATP clay court titles, I'm going to back Alexi, but I don't know when that will happen.
No, and without giving away all of your article, and we encourage everyone while they're listening in tonight, go on and have a read at thefirstserve.com.au and through our socials, Aussies versus clay. But I thought Paul McNamee's comments about Nick Kyrgios were quite interesting, Linda.
They were. Paul feels that Nick's disdain for clay is a little bit, is very unfortunate, because he says he can play on the surface, he just chooses not to, or not to very often. But he just feels it sets a sort of almost a bad example or sends a bad message to the kids coming up, because there were quite a few years when a lot of the Australians were just a bit like, oh, you know, it's just clay and it's just the warm-up for Wimbledon and we don't have to care about it because we're Australians and we're no good on it. And so therefore, you know, we just almost dismiss it. Whereas he feels that as Paul is an absolute clay court aficionado, I was talking to him on his way down to Mornington to watch the Gallipoli Cup, yeah, and he watches the back courts of junior tournaments because he's got specific things he wants to see in young players when he sees them playing that he hopes will translate to clay. And he also clay, of course, being absolutely regarded as the prime, or Paul says the only, teaching surface. So, yes, there's a whole lot of things that he would like to see happen, and Kyrgios dissing clay is not one of them.
No, have a read. And a very astute judge, always great listening to Paul McNamee or seeing him in print. We'll touch on another Kyrgios matter very, very shortly. But one person that is mastering the clay, and we're looking forward to this matchup. I am going to set the alarm and watch this live tomorrow morning. I said on the program going back a few months ago, I thought the most watchable player on the WTA Tour was Iga Swiatek. I love watching this girl play. I can't take my eyes off her. Barty versus Swiatek, third round, Madrid. It's a must watch.
Absolutely. Paul actually mentioned, Paul McNamee in our chat the other day, that he thinks they are by far the two sort of form players on clay right at the moment. He believes maybe Ash is slightly better suited to the conditions at altitude there in Madrid, but he thinks it's going to be a huge sort of pointer to what we might see in Roland Garros in a few weeks' time.
Trying for those that maybe haven't followed Swiatek and her journey, and she's a really interesting player who obviously off court in the last 12 months has had to deal with a lot more in terms of media and sponsor commitments, and you know, trying to have her zen time, if you like, to make sure she stays focused on, you know, building the great foundations that she's already laid as a 19-year-old to be inside the top 20. But if you were to pick a little point of difference, Lindy, we know what Ash brings and the great skill, and we can see what Swiatek brings. I mean, just in your eyes, as having watched a lot of tennis, just match them up for us.
Well, Swiatek's got such a wonderful all-court game, as Ash does, but she hasn't got quite, I guess, the subtleties that Barty might have in some of the angles and things like that. She's a fantastic mover. She's, you know, a huge, hits a lot of winners. She's just so solid in every shot and moves so beautifully. Whereas Ash has just got that little bit of extra flair, perhaps, than Swiatek might have at this point. But she's obviously, you know, that she's younger and a little bit less experience. But clay, I actually covered her at Junior Wimbledon a few years ago, and she had to be convinced she could play on grass.
Yeah.
So I think she's at least knows she can play on clay. And I just think it'll just be they're not, you know, they're sort of similar in some ways, but very different in others. I think Ash's serve, as Paul was sort of mentioning too, in Madrid might give her a few more free points.
Yep.
Ash has got that wonderful slice on the clay. But this Swiatek, there's not a shot she doesn't have either. So it's just a match of different strengths, but similar kind of levels, I think.
It's going to be absolute beauty. I was hoping, and I said on this program, I think, last week, that I wanted to see as soon as possible Barty v. Osaka, but there's no chance of that happening in Madrid this week. Now, having knocked out by Mukova, a great run to the semis of the Australian Open. So she is taking a few scalps, but Naomi and Clay, they haven't overly been kind to each other.
No, she left Melbourne Park after winning the Australian Open saying, of course, the next thing I have to do is master all the surfaces because we know she can play on hard court, and then there was still grass and clay. But she is a hard court specialist. Speaking of Richard Fromberg and his clay, I mean, her results on hard courts are so phenomenal, and yet they haven't quite translated at this stage.
Yeah, disappointing.
She doesn't have the slice. She doesn't have... Nope. It's a bit sort of bang-bang, isn't it, with Osaka? And if it doesn't go in, there's not really a plan B for her at this stage on another surface.
No, that is true. And, players who play that nature, trying to make the adjustments, really, really tough for quite a few players. What are you making of Madrid? The ladies are well underway, of course, so effectively almost a two-week tournament. The men have just got underway. No Djokovic, who's decided to skip Madrid this week.
That's right, and with no explanation, really, apart from a sorry I won't be there announcement. So I don't know if he was so rattled by his loss at Monte Carlo, or there's something going on at home, or who would know if there's a physical thing that he's afflicted by at the moment. He's just pacing himself before Roland Garros and just sticking with one lead-up tournament. Who would know? But it certainly makes for a lot of interesting speculation, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. There's always a story around Novak, so we'll follow that. And what we do want to see, though, and I preface this today on SCN when I was speaking to Dwayne Russell, we want to see Rafa and Carlos Alcaraz. Now, Alcaraz has got to beat Manarino. That's not an easy assignment. He's a tough competitor, the lefty from France. But when he first won Madrid 2005, Rafa, Alcaraz was just 2 years of age. Here is a young 17-year-old on the verge of the top 100. We'd love a little taste of this matchup.
The current Rafa and the next Rafa. There's big raps on this young Spanish boy, isn't there?
Yeah.
I watched him for a little bit on an outside court at the Australian Open this year, but certainly a lot of, a lot of Spanish people and people, just tennis lovers, will be really itching for this one.
Looking forward to it. We've got the exact time. Jed's with me. We'll get him on very, very soon to just see what time that match is on tonight. But one man who's decided to pull the pin, one of the most watchable players, was a great shot maker. He took some great scalps. He beat Nadal twice in his career. Alexander Dolgopolov, who we haven't seen play for 3 years, when the wrist, and we've seen it with Del Potro, we've seen it with other players, when that injury occurs and it just gets worse, it's a tough one to come back from. And he's had, a couple of surgeries, Linda, to try and rectify it. World number 13 he got to, but Dolgopolov has decided to pull the pin.
Yes, he actually revealed in his retirement announcement that he'd injured it in Australia, practicing here 3 years ago in 2018. And it just was, he didn't realise at the time how serious it was, and he just was never really able to recover from it. But the outpouring this week was amazing. Even Roger Federer tweeted, "Team RF, we love watching you play, dog." And I remember watching him play for the first time without knowing a whole lot about him back, 10 years ago, and thinking, this guy is just freakish, some of the shots he plays and the things that he does. And he obviously had an Australian connection with Jack Reeder. His old coach, a South Australian guy, travelled with him for a long time. They were a bit of an odd couple, but really had a wonderful relationship there for quite some time. And actually, Ben Rothenberg, the excellent New York Times tennis writer, tweeted the other day that he thought that the Bernard Tomic Dolgopolov match at the 2012 Australian Open was the best match he's ever seen. That gives you an idea of what the shot making was like and how outrageous some of it was.
All right, I'm going to go back on YouTube and have a look at that one during the week. Tomic and Dolgopolov. That's a nice little lead-in by you. Nice little lead-in by you, Linda, because just back to Nick Kyrgios. Kyrgios unloads, answering disgusting insult, as he called it. Nick Kyrgios is not feeling the burn. Kyrgios unloaded on his former buddy Bernard Tomic in a social media rant. Speaking on his Instagram story, Kyrgios said he felt insulted by a disgusting comparison to the former Aussie Davis Cup teammate.
Oh, these two, they're always having a little niggle at each other, aren't they? But this was actually the most outspoken Nick's been about Bernie, I think. It was an interesting one because he just said, has he got a foundation? Has he done bushfire fundraising? This is disgusting. I've never been so insulted. And considering the things that have been said about Nick over the years by many people, I would have thought this was quite mild. But anyway, he took particular offence. Do you understand why?
Well, it's funny. It made me think, because of all the questions over the years, and when Alex De Minaur was rising, the first question I'd always get was about Kyrgios, Tomic. It was always the first question on any show
and
that I'd be on.
And they were lumped together as well. They were.
Yeah,
and
I probably always put them in the same sentence and the same breath. But when you do think about it, I mean, there's a clear difference. Yes, they've both been the bad boys, and for differing sort of reasons. But I can understand why Nick's probably taken a little bit of exception to being put in the same sentence.
Yeah, but the worst thing that's never felt more insulted, I do think it was a slight overreaction myself.
It probably, yeah. No, there's been some heavier stuff, but yeah, it's always been a fascinating dynamic between those two. I remember being a key on for the Davis Cup.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, when Nick was sick and Bernie lost and then didn't question whether Nick was actually sick, and it was all going on then too. I think they did get along okay for a while. I think there's been a few they rub each other up the wrong way quite frequently, it seems.
Not so now, Linda. How many off the top of your head? How many Wimbledons have you covered at SW19?
12, I think. 12 or 13.
And what would you do on that middle Sunday?
Oh, sleep, shop, do my washing, all those sorts of things.
Pub crawl.
There was two of them, I think. There was usually a dinner on somewhere with the media. But there was, it's interesting. There were two, I think, that I covered that the middle Sunday was called into play because of rain. And so I kind of think it's inevitable that it had to happen this way. It makes all sorts of financial sense. It makes all sorts of practical sense. Most sporting events want to play on a weekend. That's when people can go. And I know Wimbledon doesn't have any problem selling its tickets, but even so, it's a day where people like watching sport. So I think it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. And if you haven't caught up on the news, from 2022, no rest in the middle Sunday. It'll be action aplenty. I've got to say, having been to a few Wimbledons, I'd actually like the day off just to reset, recharge. And
the media won't be happy, but everyone else will.
Absolutely. So that manic fourth round Monday now gets spread across 2 days like a normal tournament. And just to finish off, Linda, a man who's often in the news, he has been in the news for you know, good and bad reasons across his career. But this is a fascinating little story about Fabio Fognini, who may sue the ATP over damage to his image. Of course, he was bounced out of Barcelona for allegedly abusing an official. He argued with a linesman over a foot fault. He was disqualified. So he's appealed that disqualification and the $5,000 fine that goes with it. He's demanding an apology from the ATP. Nothing forthcoming at this stage, and he's threatened to sue them.
He's demanding an apology for, quote, compensation for very serious image damage, unquote. Mm. So he's saying he doesn't care about the money. It's about his reputation. But the interesting thing is that a couple of days after his disqualification, and he's only one of sort of about nine men, I think, since 2002, and Djokovic at the US Open was the previous, most recent one, his racket sponsor, Babolat, came out and said in a statement that they were concerned about the outbursts of both Fognini and Benoit Paire, who's been booted out of the French Olympic team for his ridiculous behaviour over quite some time now, and that they said that both of those players' values didn't align with what Babolat stands for and that they were not showing the right example. And so after that, Fabio decided he needs an apology to repair his reputation. Well, you just don't. But the other interesting thing he did say, I must say, that he said that he's done much worse before and he's taken responsibility for it. But in this case, he didn't insult anyone and he doesn't pretend to be an example for anyone. But he also he's not guilty this time. So I tend to think I might believe him, given he does usually just own up to what he does.
Yes.
But it's still unfortunate. I mean, you shouldn't be bluing with line judges, should you? Regardless of whether you insult them enough to be disqualified or you don't.
No, look, he's digging in the heels here, and he has said he's no angel. So he's had a fair rap filed across the journey. We'll follow that with a bit of interest. We'll read your great article on our website and our socials. Linda, thank you for your time as always.
Pleasure. Talk to you next month.
Linda Pierce talking the world of tennis. She knows it as good as anyone going around. Paul Aiken on the text. McNamee is correct. Playing at club level is your best assistant coach. It is phenomenal for junior development. It's always questionable when clubs choose synthetic grass over clay. Thank you, PA. Nicely said. We'll take a break. Back with more on the First Serve.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis. At sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists. At glgcorp.com, the First Serve, your home of tennis.
Welcome back to the First Serve Monday night. Great to have you with us right across the SEN network. Brett Phillips in the chair. Great to catch up with Linda Pierce. Aussies versus clay, that is up. Have a really good read on our website, thefirstserve.com.au. Reference to Paul McNamee. I got sent his new book during the week. I know he hasn't officially launched it, but it is Welcome to the Dance, Master Clay to Master Tennis. So we'll talk to Paul and delve into that through the clay court season. You can go shopping tonight while you're listening to us. Tennis Direct. .com.au. Use the promo code FIRSTSERVE10. Rackets, accessories, fast delivery, great prices. They are on board with us here at the First Serve. Well, very recently we had the Australian Tennis Championships. More than 50 players competed across four categories, including players with an intellectual disability, players with Down syndrome, players with autism, and for the first time, players who are deaf or hard of hearing. Kelly Wren is a great story. I was fortunate to chat to Kelly off air last week. She claimed her 23rd consecutive national title, which is a great record from New South Wales. Kelly, it's great to have you on the First Serve.
Hello, Brett. How are you?
Going beautifully. 23 consecutive titles. That's something you've got to be pretty proud of.
Yeah, I'm very, very proud of all my achievements, and to get to the 23rd title is just unbelievable.
I mean, your resume goes off the charts. You've been at world championships, global games, everywhere around the globe for a long time, and you're doing some coaching now as well as playing. I mean, tennis, we call it the sport for life, and it's given you a lifetime of great fulfilment.
Yes, I love the game, and I'm pretty passionate about the game, and just to be around tennis is what I love doing. It's a sport for everyone, and just proud to be still playing it.
How did you get into tennis? Why did you choose tennis as a sport?
Well, there's plenty of objects in the backyard when I was young.
Yes.
And got to pick up a tennis ball and a totem tennis bat and got to hit a ball over barbecue chairs in my back porch, and that's how it all started.
And it's just and it stuck. And I remember one of the very early Newcombe Medal Awards, which you won, of course, the most outstanding athlete with a disability back in 2011. That was that the first Newcombe Medal, or one of the was it at Crown or the first one?
Well, I guess there's other years that it has been around, but I was the one that won it in 2011.
Yeah, you did, and it was the very early days of the awards, but it's such a great night, isn't it? What was it like to be able to, you know, rub shoulders with the elite of Australian tennis? That's what I think the great part is, which separates tennis and other sports who, you know, we have our Brownlow in AFL and the Dally M in rugby league, where it's just awarding the elite. Whereas tennis mixed the elite and the grassroots all together in one night, rubbing shoulders with awards given across all categories. It must have been a great thrill to get that award and just meet some of your idols.
Yeah, what a great night they are to put on at at the Crown in Melbourne, and yeah, just to see and listen to how people have achieved in community tennis and playing at the elite. And it's just good to sit there and know that it's a really, really, they're really nice nights to go to.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stories that are told. I mean, Kelly, what has tennis given you the most as a sport?
Tennis has given me the independence, I get to travel, and I get to meet people from around the world. I get to play on different court surfaces, and I get to travel with different coaches and just meet people, to play good, tough matches as well.
Yeah, nicely said. Have you got a preferred surface that you like to play on?
I like synthetic grass, but I was brought up on hard court.
Okay. It'd be a little kinder on the body, the synthetic grass.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And how much longer do you, I mean, this is the great part about tennis. You don't need to retire, do you? Hang up the racket. You can keep playing as long as you're standing upright and vertical.
That's exactly right. I never, ever want to think about retirement.
Not when you can travel the world, though. It's a little harder to travel the world these days. Hopefully things open up. And just a final one on, you know, going down the coaching path, what are the lessons you most pass on from all your years of experience on the tour?
I just think experiencing what I've gone through with a coach who I used to get coached by, and I give back to his knowledge of what he gave to me to another person who's starting off, and that's rewarding.
Yeah. What's the best thing you reckon you've been told as a player? Is there something that sticks in your mind, Kelly, like a you know, just a great lesson or a great bit of advice that you received as a player?
Be patient. Which I'm not, but I have to be. But it's just not running into the ball as well. And that's how I first try to start to hit the ball, because all I wanted to do is hit the ball. And, but that's – I've grown out of that, and I've learnt some from really, really good coaches.
Yeah, great stuff. Well, particularly on clay, you've got to be extremely patient with your Aussies are still trying to master. Kelly, I just wanted to acknowledge your great deeds. 23 consecutive titles, outstanding, and hopefully we'll run into each other someday.
Thank you, Brett. Yes, I'm so excited.
Kelly Wren, you can hear the excitement up there in New South Wales. It's a great result, and as we know, tennis caters for all. Yarra Tennis Coaching is Melbourne's independent tennis coaching program. It's out at Eaglemont Tennis Club. Shane Scrutton on board with us here on the First Serve. Programs for every age and standard. You can contact him direct 0414 373 586 or check out yarratennis.com.au. Back with a few more bits and pieces to tidy up.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen. a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists, providing landscape, horticultural and environmental services throughout Australia at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
We look ahead to Barty Swiatek, 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. The young 19-year-old said to the press, "I'm ambitious. I always want to play perfect. That's not a great attitude. So I'm still learning how to win ugly and sometimes perform good, even though I'm not feeling perfect." Be fair to say, Ash Barty hasn't always won perfect in 2021, having to dig herself from a set down or a bit of adversity. So winning ugly is certainly a part of sport. Manarino Alcaraz, around about 11 o'clock tonight. Righto. I'll see if I can do that going into Barty. It's going to be a test of the matchstick eyes a little bit later on. But we need Carlos Alcaraz to get through to play Rafael Nadal, the young Spanish whiz kid up against absolute champion in Rafa. Piers and Venus up against Purcell and Seville. So three Australians and a Kiwi in the doubles a little bit later on tonight. Quick Aussie stock take. Demonors in Madrid. She had to pull out the big guns. A set and a breakdown overnight. Got through to the second round. Milman's in Madrid yet to play. Kyrgios, we believe, has indicated he's going to come back on the grass in Mallorca, the home of Rafael Nadal, leading into Wimbledon. So that's what we're hearing around Nick Kyrgios. Disappointing for Tomo, went out first qualifying match in Madrid. Popperin got through a couple of really tight matches. Alexi, so he'll be in the main draw. Duckworth is still in Australia at the moment. O'Connell hasn't played for about 5 weeks. He is in Europe. We're trying to get to the bottom of that. Polman's Bolt needs a win on the road. He's playing tonight. 0-4, Alex Bolt. Needs a win on the road. Thanasi Kokkinakis going okay. He's almost on the verge of the top 200. He's made three quarterfinals. He's building and building. Everyone just thinks probably Thanasi's going to rip through these draws at challenger level. But when you haven't played a lot of tennis for the best part of 12 months, it is very, very tough. And a dangerous little floater in Madrid, the unseeded Aslan Karatsev. We love him. What an Australian Open he had. He defeated Uga Humber 7-5, 6-4. So he has set up a great round two match with little Diego Schwartzman. Barty flying on the women's side. Tom Lanovic knocked out Madrid qualies. Bagel there, that was disappointing. Astra Sharma, a little break. Not sure when Sam Stosur rejoins the tour. Inglis and Cabrera, we haven't seen at this stage. We know Priscilla Hahn is injured. Sanders and Roddy Nova are going to play in America this week at an ITF event. The PTCA, Professional Tennis Coaches Association. We're going to have more on this in the next couple of weeks. And they did a health check. I couldn't quite tune in yesterday. The Australian Tennis Health Check to see where clubs, coaches and competition tennis is at as we reset and emerge from COVID-19. The group discovered yesterday that tennis numbers for both juniors and senior teams are down across associations and also pennant in Melbourne. However, coaching numbers certainly seems to be on the way up for newer players to tennis, which is certainly encouraging news. There were plenty of coaches from Tasmania, Victoria, New South Wales on that call yesterday. They reported a lack of assistant coaches available, even though there is a growing demand for tennis lessons in 2021 for both juniors and adults. We're going to dig into that from a domestic point of view, just the health check on Australian tennis and where all that is heading. Make sure you check out Melbourne's leading synthetic grass court surface and construction specialists, Asti Tennis Courts. They're trusted by Melbourne tennis clubs and councils. Check out aste.com.au. Keep an eye on our socials throughout the week. Our website, thefirstserve.com.au. That great piece put up by Linda Pierce tonight. Ash Barty, we could be talking in a week's time. She might have another title. Got to get past Swiatek. What a beauty. That'll be in the early hours. Hit them well this week. Talk to you next Monday.